Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Blessed are the hungry. And this is based off Matthew 5, verse 6. You might remember Dad, he taught an awesome message on this back in 1999. Wow, right? And released his book. It was called Blessed Are the Hungry. It's an awesome, awesome book. But it's based on Matthew 5, verse 6, which says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And it comes out of something that God was doing in my own life about 2 or 3 months ago. I noticed in my quiet times that I was just dry, spiritually dry. Anybody ever been there? It's like I didn't feel that tangible presence of God like I've felt so many times before. Felt like I was just missing something. Something was missing. I was praying. I was reading the Bible. I hadn't backslid, hadn't gone crazy. But yet, I was missing something. I was praying. I was seeking God about it. And this verse was illuminated to me. If I hunger and thirst for righteousness, if I hunger and thirst for God, right, I will be fulfilled. I'll be filled. I'll be satisfied. And God said, Daniel, you haven't been seeking me like you used to. You've been seeking my blessings, but you haven't been seeking me. You've been seeking the benefits, but you haven't been seeking the benefactor. And that just went off like a bomb in my spirit. And so we looked at this the first week, if you guys recall. We looked at Samson and about how he started off with a call of God on his life. He was set apart, separated, but yet he began to fall away. He quit having that hunger, that burning desire for the Lord. And as a result, he lost the power in his life. Amen? Remember that? And so we talked about our big idea. We introduced it in week one for the whole series is this. You'll see it there in your notes. That maintaining spiritual hunger is key to walking in God's purpose for your life. Everyone say maintaining. Now look at your neighbor and say, it's up to you. Look at your other neighbor and say, it's all you. Maintaining. You and I, we have to maintain that hunger. We have to keep the fire going. No one else is going to do it for us. It's just not going to happen. And then last week, we introduced this idea that God has a purpose for our life, an amazing plan. It's called the Great Commission. Do you guys remember that? The Great Commission. And the power that we get to carry out the Great Commission, the wisdom that we get to carry out the Great Commission, the courage that we need to carry out this Great Commission that Jesus left us with, we find only in the presence of God. And we get in the presence of God by hungering after God. Everyone remember that? And so tonight, I'd like to, again, just think about that. That what do you say you and I, as the word goes forth, we resolve not just to seek God only when we need him, but to seek him for his presence, to seek him because we love him. We want a relationship with him. What do you say? You want to do it? I love this quote here Dad had in his book here, chapter 1. And you can actually get this book on Amazon still. But Dad said, if we ever expect to walk in the kind of victory God created us to walk in, we'll have to quit relating to God on an emergency use only basis. We can't just go to God when we're in trouble. We can't just go to God when we're in pain. We have to go to God all the time. We need to hunger for God continually. Bad times, good times, weak times, strong times, daytime, nighttime, all the time. Hunger is what brings me to God, and hunger is what keeps me with God. So tonight, as we move on to part 3, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the benefits of hungering after God. The benefits of hungering after God. And if we could, I'd like to look at Psalms 36, verses 5 through 9. I believe that's in your notes there. And I'd like to read, this is David, and it's a prayer, right? He's talking to the God. He's having a conversation with God. And I'm just going to read through it real quick. Cool? All right, here we go. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness, it reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied. Everyone say satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Now, I love this. This is David having a conversation with the Lord. And when you read this passage, it speaks of love and trust. It shows this awesome relationship. They called David a man after God's own heart. And because he knew God, you can tell from this passage intimately, he trusts God. Can you see that in there? And because he trusts God, he obeys God. And how many know when you and I obey God, blessings just naturally flow. Blessings just naturally flow. But it all starts with knowing God. And you might say, well, Daniel, how do I know God? We talked about it week one, right? There's some things we got to start. There's some things we got to stop. Are you spending time in God's word each and every day? That's one of the ways that we know God. Are you putting him first in everything you do? Are you giving tithing, like Pastor said? Are you praying? It starts with knowing God. And when you know God, then you want to obey him. It just flows naturally, and the blessings flow out of that. I heard a story a pastor told this last week about a man. He was a good man. He lived in Northern California. And a great husband, great family man, spent time with his kids, took care of his wife. And he had a really tough week, had a really bad week, had all kinds of projects. He got them done. And when he got home on a Friday night, he was just totally, you know, exhausted, everything. But his wife came up to him. Now, this man was a fly fisherman. His wife came up to him, and she said, honey, I just want you to know that first thing in the morning, I booked a trip for you in Northern California to go fly fishing. I got a lodge reserved for you. I already paid for your time in there. She said, I actually even got all your stuff already packed out in the car. She said, I even called your boss and let him know that you're not going to be into work next week. He's already given you the week off. And then he goes, but what about my haircut next Tuesday? She said, don't worry about it. I already canceled it. You're all set. This is going to be the best trip. I just love you so much. I want to take care of you. I want to give you the desires of your heart. Now think about that. Don't you think that that guy enjoyed that trip so much more because she set it up like that versus if he would have tried to make that all happen on his own? Don't you think that he had a greater satisfaction, greater joy going on that trip, coming home knowing that was all taken care of? He didn't have to strive and confess and pray for hours for that thing to happen. That blessing just flowed out of relationship. That's the best kind of blessing. The blessing that flows naturally out of relationship. If you and I will hunger after God, if you and I will give yourselves completely to him and his purposes, like we talked about, the Great Commission, the Bible says we're going to be abundantly satisfied. Let's look at this scripture, Job chapter 36, verse 11. It says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. How many of that sounds like satisfaction, doesn't it? What do you say? Let's read this together on the count of three. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So tonight, I want to talk a little bit about, again, the benefits of hunger. And I want you to stick with me a little bit because we're going to talk about the condition of our heart and the role that hunger plays in the condition of our heart. If you have in your notes there, you can look down. I want to make sure it's there. It says, it says here, let's go to, first, everything that I experience in my Christian walk is connected to the condition of my heart. Okay, so let's say that again. Say it after me. Everything that I experience in my Christian walk is connected to the condition of my heart. Okay, I want to say it again. That was pretty weak. Here we go. Everything I experience in my Christian walk is connected to the condition of my heart. Do you guys remember the story about King David? When God told Samuel to go pick out the next king of Israel. Do you guys remember this story? Right? And he goes to Jesse's house and he says, Jesse, God told me one of your sons is going to be king. And so Jesse brings them all out there. He lines them all up and there's all these kind of tough guys and, you know, they're strong, big. They look like they could be king, right? And Samuel starts at one. He goes, I think this guy's king, right, God? Holy Spirit's like, nope, that's not him, right? He moves to the next guy. I think this could be it, right, God? Nope. But I mean, he looks like a king, God. Look at him, right? But that wasn't him, right? He gets to the end. He says, Jesse, is there any more sons? And he goes, well, there's one. David, right? And he's out with the sheep. And so they go get David, and God says, that's the one, right? He's the one. He's got a heart after me. Okay? So he picks David, anoints him, and then afterwards, God tells Samuel this. He says, man looks at the outside, but I look at the heart. The condition of your heart, right? That's connected to everything that happens in our Christian walk. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your be also, right? So number one, what I want to talk about here, I want you to write it down here, is the condition of my heart determines the season I'm in. The condition of my heart determines the season I'm in. And you might say, well, Daniel, how do I know the condition of my heart? I'm glad you asked. Matthew 12, verse 34. Can we look at that real quick? Matthew 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh. One way that you and I gauge the condition of our heart tonight is, what are we saying? What are we speaking? Do I speak like somebody who's intimately acquainted with God, or someone who's more familiar with the world? Am I speaking the negative? Am I pointing out all the bad in other people? Or am I encouraging them, pointing out the good? Am I talking about the things that God's going to do? Am I talking faith and hope? Or am I speaking despair, lack, unbelief? That reveals the condition of my heart. And guess what? That determines the season that I'm in tonight. You might be saying, man, God, why isn't things changing? Why aren't things changing? Listen to your words. There's a clue there. What you're saying reveals the condition of your heart. Number two, the condition of my heart determines the length of the season I'm in. The condition of my heart determines the length of the season I'm in. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. In the Amplified Version, it says, for he who has once entered God's rest, I don't know if that is the right verse there, guys. But anyway, no, it's not the right verse. It's a good one. But anyway, the verse that I'm looking for, well, let me see here, guys. That kind of throws a wrench in it, doesn't it? I need to be instant in season out. Why don't somebody pray for me right now? But the condition of my heart determines the length of the season I'm in. And basically, there's a verse in the Bible where it talks about we have to humble ourselves before God, right? And I forget, Dad, what verse is that? You're the walking concordance. It's in there. It's good. But it talks about how you have to humble yourself before you'll be exalted. And basically, what God is saying is that the season that we're in today, we might be wondering what's going on there. It's something in our heart that's holding us back. This goes a lot along with what I talked about in waiting well. Do you guys remember that? It's up to us. There's something in our heart that's holding us back. And so the condition of my heart determines the length of the season I'm in. Number three, the condition of my heart determines the time of the manifestation. The time of the manifestation. Now, the Bible is referred to as a couple different things in here when referencing God's word. We know this is divinely inspired, right? We know this is life. Amen? All right, come on. If you amen me, you get to go out there and eat. So, amen, right? Okay. So we know this is divinely inspired, right? The Bible, it's referred to in here as milk, right? It's referred to as meat. Paul refers to it. And when we talk about the Bible being milk, right, we're talking about, that's the encouraging stuff. When you come to church and dad does a sermon and it just encourages you, like, yeah, all right. And then, amen, I'm just so inspired and encouraged. And then the meat is the stuff when pastor preaches, like, ooh, he kind of stepped on my toes. Right, and then you kind of walk out of there and you kind of, man, I got to examine some things. I got to change some things. You know what I'm talking about? It's for growing up, right? But the other thing that's in here is the promises. Everyone goes, the promises. 7,400 promises in this book that God's given you. And what I find fascinating, and I won't take time to go through it, but in Mark chapter 4, right, verses 14 through 20, we have the parable of the sower. And because we're going to get outside, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. But that's the one where, right, where the sower goes out and sows the seed, and he throws it on different types of soil. There's rocky soil, there's thorny soil, and different ones of those keep the seed from growing, right? And that soil is a type of our heart, a type of the condition of my heart. Now, what I find fascinating is God's word caused the world to be. God's word brings the dead to life. God's word split the Red Sea. But yet you and my, our hearts, we can stop God's word. The condition of your heart can keep that seed held back. The offenses that you've held on to, the things like we talked about in our life that are making it stony, things that are making it thorny, they could choke the word and keep it from bringing a harvest in our life. Your heart is determining how long it takes for you to get out of this season. Your heart is determining how long it takes for you to see that thing you've been believing God for so long to take place. Remember? And waiting well. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all you. Right? So our heart has the power to stop or start what God wants to do in our life. That's just amazing to me, how powerful God's word is, but yet my heart can stop it. Number four, the condition of my heart determines the degree of my manifestation. The condition of my heart determines the degree of my manifestation. And if we can look here, Mark chapter 4, verse 24, in the Amplified, it says, be careful what you are hearing. The measure or thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more will be given to you who hear. Do you guys understand that verse? No. Okay. Let's read it again. So be careful what you're hearing, what you're putting in your heart. The measure and thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. What you're putting in your heart determines the degree of harvest you and I received. Does that make sense? The stuff that we're allowing in, is it feeding doubt and unbelief? Is it making me hard-hearted? Am I spending more time on Netflix than the Word? Am I spending more time talking about crazy things at the water cooler with my coworkers than talking about the things of God? Guess what? That's determining the manifestation, how big the degree of that manifestation, the thing I'm believing for in my life, it's determining that. So you might be saying, so Daniel, why are you sharing all this stuff with us about the heart? Because of this, when I'm hungry for God, my heart changes. Say, my heart changes. And when my heart changes, everything changes. Say, everything changes. When you and I have a hunger for God, and we thirst after him like we're supposed to, we put him first, you can't help but your heart be changed. And then when your heart is changed, everything changes. The season you're in, God takes you into a new season. It seems like God has an answer in your prayers. All of a sudden, those prayers start being answered. You don't have to force it. You don't have to come up here and have Pastor Blunt lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. You just got your heart right. You don't got to have Pastor Kim, let's go on a 30-day fast. You just got your heart right. You got to fill out prayer requests. You don't got to speak the word. You just got your heart right. And you were able to receive. When you and I hunger for God, it changes our heart. And that changes everything. I want to read John 15, verse 5. We all know this verse, but it says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, this is Jesus talking, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He that abides in me, it's relationship, and I in him, the same brings forth fruit. A natural byproduct of a relationship with God is fruit. We were in Iowa last week with my grandma, and we were going to the Iowa State Fair, and we were out at my grandma's house, and right now she rents out part of her pasture. Mom, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, right? For farmers to farm corn, okay? So we're walking out there, and guys, this is Iowa, of course, but the corn is just massive. It's like 10 feet tall as a basketball hoop. Dad's standing up there, and he's looking up at it. And we're walking along, just amazing. Big old ears of corn on there. And man, the corn in Iowa, sweet corn. I'm sorry, I know I always talk about food on Wednesday nights. Make everybody hungry. But sweet corn in Iowa, man, it's so good, you know. And Dad was looking at it, and Dad turns to me, and he goes, man, the farmer must have really got this in at the exact right time. He got the seed planted at the exact right time. That farmer sure knew what he was doing, Daniel. Because look at how tall and beautiful this corn is. And look at the fruit. Look at the corn. And that really ministered to me because I walked up there to the corn and I didn't hear it declaring, I'm going to bring forth ears of corn. And I got over there by the other ear of corn and I didn't hear it saying, I need to network and get around the right people so God can bless me. If only I have 150,000 Instagram followers, then God could really use me. None of that was happening. The only thing that corn had to worry about was its relationship to the farmer. Those big ears of corn, how tall it was, have to do any of that. It just had to be focused on its connection with the farmer. The farmer took care of it. Didn't have to worry about it. The farmer got it in the ground, fertilized it, took care of it, cut the tassels off. And as a result, it produced corn. Beautiful corn. And I think sometimes we try to get caught up in all this stuff. And I'm guilty of it myself. You know, you get listening to the world sometimes. Man, they say, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this to make it happen, to get out there and make it happen, brother. Something Dad used to always tell me is he'd always say, Daniel, you just focus on your relationship with God and everything else will fall in place. Quit thinking about all that. Quit getting all stressed out about all that stuff. Just get connected to the vine. You're going to bring forth fruit. Worry about your relationship with a farmer. You're going to bring forth corn. Does that make sense? There's a verse in the Bible. I love it. Psalms chapter 138, verse 8, and I don't think the guys had this, but it says, he will fulfill his purpose for me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. I don't have anything to do with it. All I have to do is take care of my heart. I don't have to do anything but take care of that relationship with God, and guess what? He makes it all come to pass. I start bringing forth fruit.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.